Hello, welcome to the Hidden History of Texas. I'm your guide, Hank Wilson. We're still in 1835, and I'm taking a closer look at each of the early battles, skirmishes, that took place as the year comes to a close. Now, in previous episodes, I've discussed the battles that took place, Gonzales and Goliad, or La Bahia. It was in Goliad that we first met General Cost, who would play a significant role in the next skirmish I want to talk about, and that is the Siege of Bexar, or San Antonio. Now, it's spelled Bexar, but it's not Bexar, it's Bexar. And it took place from October through December of 1835. Without a doubt, the Siege of Bexar was the first major campaign of the Texas Revolution. A group of Texas volunteers laid siege to the Mexican army that was headquartered in San Antonio de Bexar. Now, after Texans drove off Mexican troops at Gonzales on October 2nd, the Texan army gathering outside of San Antonio grew to about 300 men. Now, to bring unity to the group, they elected Stephen F. Austin commander. On October 12th, they advanced closer to San Antonio, where General Martin Perfecto de Cos, recently, remember our old friend from Goliad, had concentrated a Mexican force of around 650 men. Now, he fortified the town's plaza, the plazas, west of the San Antonio River, and he also fortified the Alamo, which lay east of the river, and the Alamo was, in fact, a mission, an active mission at the time. Now, in mid-October, the Texans, now the force numbering about 400 men, camped along Salado Creek east of San Antonio. In this group were legendary names such as James Bowie and Tejano leader Juan de Seguin. Now, Seguin brought with him a company of Mexican Texans who fought on the side of the settlers. In late October, Bowie and James Fannin Jr. led an advance to the missions below San Antonio, while Cost brought in 100 reinforcement men. On October 25th, the Texans had a debate over strategy. Sam Houston, who had come from the consultation government, urged delay for training and for cannons to bombard the fortifications. However, the desire of Austin and others who wanted to continue efforts at capturing San Antonio won the day. On October 27th, from another of the missions around the San Antonio area, San Francisco de la Espada mission, Austin sent Bowie and Fannin towards Nuestra Señora de la Purísima Concepción de Acuña mission with 90 men. Now, their task was to locate a position near the town of San Antonio that would be suitable for an army encampment. It was there on the morning of the 28th that the Texans' scouting party was attacked by a force of 275 men led by Colonel Domingo de Ugateca. The Texans took a position along the bank of the San Antonio River from where they were able to drive off the assault. In doing so, they inflicted over 50 casualties on the Mexican force and captured a cannon. Now, General Cost took up more defensive positions in San Antonio and the Alamo, and the Texans established camps on the river above and below the town. The Texans' army grew to about 600 with reinforcements from East Texas, which were led by Thomas J. Rusk. Now, for the next several days, Texas and Mexican cavalry skirmished from time to time as the Texans scouted to capture Mexican supplies and to warn of any reinforcements for Cost. Finally, on November 8th, Travis led a force that captured 300 Mexican mules and horses grazing beyond the Medina River. On the 12th, Ugarteca left San Antonio with a small cavalry force to direct the march of reinforcements from below the Rio Grande. Austin sent cavalry to intercept him, but the Mexican troops evaded them. With the weather changing and becoming colder, and without adequate supplies, both armies began to suffer morale problems. When three companies with over 100 men arrived from the United States in mid-November, Austin again planned an attack. Officers still expressed doubts, however, and it was called off. Austin then left to assume diplomatic duties in the United States. The Texas troops selected Edward Burleson as their new leader. On November 26, Erastus Deaf Smith reported approaching Mexican cavalry, and Burleson sent troops to cut them off. The forces met near Alazan Creek west of town, and after several attacks and counterattacks, the Mexican troops withdrew back into San Antonio. At the beginning of December, Burleson was concerned about the approaching winter and a lack of supplies, and he considered withdrawing to Goliad. However, Texans who had left San Antonio provided new information on the Mexican defenses, and the Texans drew up new attack plans. When a Mexican officer surrendered with news of declining Mexican morale, Benjamin J. Milam and William Gordon Cook gathered more than 300 volunteers to attack the town, while Burleson and another 400 men scouted, protected the camp and supplies, and forced General Cost to keep his 570 men divided between the town and the Alamo. On the morning of December 5th, James C. Neal distracted the Mexican forces with artillery fire on the Alamo. At the same time, Milam and Francis W. Johnson led two divisions in a surprise attack that seized the Veramente and Garza houses north of the plaza in San Antonio. That evening and in fighting during the next day, the Texans destroyed some buildings close to them and dug trenches to connect the houses they occupied. On the 7th, the Texans captured another nearby house, but Milam was killed by a shot from a sharpshooter. Johnson then directed another night attack that seized the Navarro house. On December 8th, Ugatequia returned with over 600 reinforcements, of which the majority were untrained conscripts. Burleson sent 100 men into town to join the Texan force that captured the buildings of Zambrano Row in hand-to-hand fighting. Cost ordered his cavalry to threaten the Texan camp, but they found it well defended. When Cost tried to concentrate his troops at the Alamo, four companies of his cavalry rode away rather than continue the struggle. On the morning of December 9th, Cost asked for surrender terms. Burleson accepted the surrender of most Mexican equipment and weapons and permitted Cost and his men to retire southward because neither army had supplies to sustain a large group of prisoners. Texas casualties numbered 30 to 35, while Mexican losses totaled around 150. The difference is attributed to the greater accuracy of the Texans' rifles. As with most skirmishes, a majority of the Texas volunteers returned to their homes after the battle. Some Texas troops did remain in town, which, with Cost's withdrawal, left San Antonio and all of Texas under the Texans' control. It would stay that way for the next several months, and in the next episode, I'll take a deeper look at the Battle of the Alamo. Remember, if you want more information on Texas history, visit the Texas State Historical Association. I also have two audiobooks on the hidden history of Texas, one which deals from about 1500s to 1820, and the other is 1820s to 1830s. You can find the books pretty much wherever you download or listen to audiobooks. Just do a search for The Hidden History of Texas. You'll find them there. Now, links to all the stores are on my publisher's website, https://ashbynavis.com. That's ashbynavis.com, ashbynavis.com. Thank you for joining me today. I'll talk to you next time on The Hidden History of Texas. Bye-bye, y'all.